It's time now for the Morning Monster Podcast with Bobby Raider.
We're going to get in with Brent Hubbs early because he's got work to do this morning because Tennessee starts fall practice in about a half hour. Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. Hey, Brent, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well this morning.
Doing well. Good to see everyone out yesterday. Interesting day. You had the coach, you had both coordinators, and all four scholarship athletes, quarterbacks out there. That's a little unique because, Brent, you've talked about it, and I think you even talked to John about it this week on WNML, that things have changed over the past number of years as far as media availability and being able to watch practice and all that. But I thought good time had by all yesterday at the media avail prior to the start of practice.
Yeah, I don't think we'll talk. The next time we talk to the quarterback, we'll probably talk to the guy who's been named the starter, or we'll talk to the guy who played effectively in the Bowling Green game, and we'll talk to him post-game. But I thought overall a smart move by Josh Heupel, let those guys talk, so nobody can feel like there's, anybody's playing favorites or being slighted or there's this, that, or the other. Go ahead and let those guys have a conversation and, let the media meet all those guys. It's interesting. I don't know the last time we've talked to a incoming scholarship quarterback in a quarterback battle who, we talked to Joe Milton yesterday. He's never been on the practice field for Tennessee yet. So that was a bit unusual, but Josh Heupel's been pretty open since he's been here, including letting his coordinators talk as he did yesterday. So, yeah, it was fun, and we'll see what they look like starting today. And I don't think you win the job today. I don't think you lose the job today, but Alex Golish talking about wanting to narrow this thing down to a couple of people a week and a half from now. You probably don't need to have a bad day today if you're trying to get more reps tomorrow. So we'll see who comes out ready to roll this morning.
Talk to me about what you think Coach Heupel is looking for out of his quarterback. What's the one thing that's going to need to stand out?
Well, he said this yesterday, and it's a bit cliched, but I don't disagree with it. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to pick the guy that your team trusts the most. And I say that because I saw a team have a lot of chemistry problems because the quarterback that was playing was not the one that the offensive guys trusted the most. And that was in 2005. Eric Haynes was a more talented quarterback than Rick Clawson, but Rick Clawson outplayed him the entire preseason. Yet Eric Haynes was named the starter when Coach Fulmer declared it an open competition. It clearly affected a football team that went 5-6. And so I think the first thing you have to do, Kenny, is you've got to make sure the guy you pick is the guy that your team trusts and believes in, okay? And they're going to trust and believe in the guy who plays the best in the scrimmages, performs the best on the field in practice with them, particularly the receivers. Now, beyond that, from a physical trait standpoint, I think they want a guy who can command this offense, play at a fast pace, make quick decisions. But then I think also a guy who can effectively and accurately drive the ball down the field in the passing game. We've talked about it before. A year ago at Central Florida, they had five receivers average over 13.5 yards per reception. That's pushing the ball down the field. Tennessee had two a year ago that averaged that. So you've got to have a quarterback who can consistently deliver the ball vertically down the field. I think from a physical standpoint, that may be the biggest separator that there is with these quarterbacks during this quarterback derby. Who's most effective in the vertical passing game?
We talk a lot about the offense, but defensively, what base defense do you think the Vols will play? Will it be a 3-2, 4-2-5? And who do you think Tim Banks will lean on?
Well, I think you're going to have to play a 4-2-5 more than you play anything else because of the number of spread offenses that you play with teams in 3 and 4 wide, teams with slot receivers, people running RPOs. I think it's hard to line up in the old traditional 4-3 with three linebackers. I think it's hard to line up in a traditional 3-4. I think if you look at 3-4 teams or, quote, 3-4 teams, they're walking a guy up into a 4-3 look, but most of them are playing 4-2-5. Alabama's in a 4-2-5 look more than they're in any other in their defense. Same for Georgia. And those two defenses are, quote, traditional 3-4 defenses. I think Tennessee will be in a 4-2-5. I think finding that fifth DB, that guy in the nickel, star position, whatever you want to call it, that guy is of the extreme most importance in today's game of football. So who is that going to be? Is that going to be Theo Jackson? Is that going to be DeMeco Slaughter? Do they look at a guy like Alante Taylor in there because they're a little bit deeper at corner with a couple of transfers that they've taken? I think that's going to be interesting to see. And then the other key is the linebacker spot, because you have, you know, you bring in Texas's leading tackler to a room that was not very good in the spring. Plus you get Jeremy Banks back. Plus you get Roman Harrison back. Aaron Beasley's back. What do you look like at linebacker, you know, is another thing. You know, up front on the defensive line, I don't know. You know, I think that group has the most experience. That group probably needed the biggest culture change of any position group on the team. So we'll see where they are.
The coach did admit it. You alluded to it a moment ago. It looks a lot different than it did in the spring, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, they brought in, you know, two transfers at each level of defense. You bring in two corners, two linebackers, two defensive linemen. So you're going to the practice field today with six guys that you didn't have in the spring. And that's a big difference. And doesn't mean you're better, doesn't, because you lost some guys too, right? Okay. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Darrell Middleton's gone from the spring. Greg Emerson's gone from the spring. So we'll see. I mean, I think that this defense is better from a personnel standpoint than it was in the spring. How quickly can these guys learn it? What is it? I think that they're still installing stuff defensively in some of their sub packages. So we'll see. I mean, Tim Banks was very evasive yesterday in terms of getting specifics about kind of what his foundation of his defense is going to be. His response to everything was kind of, we're going to be multiple, and we'll see what multiple looks like. And I think that's going to be based on what they feel like they can do with their personnel. And I don't think Tim Banks was trying to mislead anybody yesterday. I'm not sure he completely knows, because he's got so much new to look at today.
You know, injuries are a big part of the game, and it's something that they're going to have to deal with throughout the season. Can the Vols avoid injury, especially during fall camp? They've been able to do that the last couple of seasons. And what is the question of depth? We heard it for so many years. We just don't have it down here. Where are they right now as far as depth is concerned?
Well, I mean, they've got bodies at certain positions. They're not very experienced. For example, they can go five deep at running back, but those guys don't have any real carries or any college football experience. When you talk about Jalen Wright, Tyon Evans, D. Beckwith, T. Hodge, Lenneth Whitehead, you know, there's four guys at the running back position that have some talent, but they've not played. So I think in spots they've got some depth. They don't have a ton of experience with that depth. Then in other spots, they're thin. When you look at them at tight end, they're not going to go very deep at tight end. They've lost Austin Pope to medical. That leaves them with Princeton Fant, Jacob Warren, Miles Campbell, kind of the big three at the tight end position. It's not a lot of depth there. If you get a bum ankle or you get a shoulder injury or something like that, that's a concern. On the offensive line, they got a little more depth there. They're a little bit thin at tackle, but they've got some competition in the interior, which should help them. At quarterback, they've got bodies there. We'll see if any of them can play. I think they would like to have another speedster or two at receiver, but I think this staff's always going to want more receivers. You know, I think their depth may show up in just some specific spots, maybe a little bit at outside linebacker, defensive end, you know, maybe at safety a little bit. I think they're okay at corner when you talk about adding the two transfers. That gives them a little bit more depth there. So in spots, it's okay, Kenny. In spots, it's not good enough. Now, that doesn't mean you have depth. That doesn't mean you have the talented depth that you need in your roster flip and your roster makeup. But this team doesn't need a lot of injuries. There's no doubt about that. So how much do they hit? How do they handle contact in practice? We'll see how Josh Heupel goes through a fall camp. We'll all start to learn that today.
We know that one of the corners is going to be Alante Turner. The question is who's going to start on the opposite side? Tennessee has the bodies in after adding the transfer from Auburn and Alabama. Who do you think gets to start on the opposite side of Taylor at corner?
I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, I don't think Alante better just stroll out there and think that he's the man and he's got the job. But because I think this staff really likes Warren Burrell as a corner, believes he's a guy who's going to be able to play in the NFL, will be an NFL corner. I think Brandon Turnage, who transferred in from Alabama, is a guy that A lot of people believe, I mean, I know he has the talent to play in this league. There's no doubt about that. He's got to mentally put it together. Kamal Haddon is a guy that was had a really nice spring at Auburn, was pretty productive in his 15 practices there. And so, you know, that, there's, you know, two guys who are eligible who came from other SEC schools where they were getting some buzz about them. Throw in Warren Burrell. Then you got Alante Taylor. Kenneth George Jr. has played some. We'll see. I mean, I think Taylor starts. Right now, if I were guessing, I would say it's going to be Taylor and Warren Burrell. But I think your transfer from Auburn, Haddon, and Brandon Turnage are going to have a say in this deal. So you better strap it up and bring it every day if you're playing corner, because suddenly you have depth. You didn't have any depth there in the spring. Those two guys, Warren Burrell and Alante Taylor, weren't worried about losing their job in the spring, I don't think. But it's a little different from a competition standpoint right now.
One of the most important positions on the team, and a lot of people don't see it because it's kind of the grunt work, but it's left tackle. And obviously there's a hole there after Morris transferred to Oklahoma and Johnson went to Texas A&M. Who gets that starting left tackle job?
Well, I think when we go to the practice field here in about 15 minutes, Dane Davis will be the first one out there, the walk-on who finished spring working as the number one left tackle, but he'll be in a dogfight to keep it. We'll see. Do they move Darnell Wright over there and look at him a little bit at left tackle this spring or this fall camp early on? Maybe. We know Cade Mays can play out there. When asked yesterday about where Cade Mays would play, Alex Golas said he's one of our best five. He will play depending on where the other four best five guys are. If they're better at guard and they need Mays at tackle, he'll play at tackle. If they're comfortable at tackle, Mays will play inside at guard. I think ultimately Mays is probably going to end up playing tackle, one of the two tackle spots, because I think they have better talent and better depth at the guard position. So we'll see what happens with Dane Davis. We'll see what kind of competition they create at that left tackle spot. Is it only going to be Cade Mays? Is it going to be Darnell Wright? Do they move somebody else over there, like a K'Ron Calvert or somebody at left tackle? Right now, my guess would be Dane Davis, Darnell Wright, and then Cade Mays would be your security blanket at left tackle.
Let's real quick before we let you go, basketball, the first domino falls. John Fulkerson signing with Pals, no brainer.
Yeah.
Do we know of any more NILs, or is this going to be the only one for basketball this year right now?
Kennedy Chandler's got an NIL with a sports trading card company. It sounds like that he's doing some autograph stuff with them. I don't think it's a blockbuster, you know, significant, large financial thing, but Kennedy does have something. He may get something else early on in the fall, depending on how he plays. And we'll see if some guys do something else on a local level. Obviously, you know, Fulkerson and Powell's made the most sense. We knew that was coming. It was a matter of getting it done. Outside of that, I don't know that you'll see a ton. I think a lot of businesses in and around East Tennessee are trying to figure out exactly what this is and how it works, how effective it can be. Do they want to spend their money in there? Do they not? Again, Fulkerson made the most sense because of his ties to the community. The fact that he's advertised for Pals free for 2 years. So he might as well get some money for it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's kind of like Pals is like, hey, we're going to pay you back for all you've done for us the last couple of years.
Exactly.
Not that they need advertising. Yeah. Pals, true. To be honest. Yeah. Unless they want to build one in Knoxville. And if they do, I've got some site locations near my house that I'd be more than happy to let them know where they are.
They're in the backyard.
That's my shameless plug for this morning. But outside of that, Kenny, I don't know that you're going to see a ton of NILs, really, for basketball or football. Cade Mays and Cooper have a couple things going on, but it's a lot of people in this area are just kind of waiting to see what it is and how effective it is or isn't before they decide to completely jump into that world.
Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com with practice getting underway. I know you guys have been doing position updates. Tell us what's up there on this special day on Wednesday, Brent.
Well, if you want to know and get ready for fall camp, before they get started here, of course, we'll have practice highlights and we'll have photos and we'll have observations and everything up in the next, I don't know, couple of hours here when practice is done. And Coach Heupel is going to meet the media here in a little bit again as well, just to talk about the first day.
Oh.
But we've got a bunch of stuff to get you ready for it this morning. Finished our positional previews yesterday. We've got a bunch of stuff up about the quarterbacks. We've got a bunch of interviews from players up. We've got 11 things that we're going to be watching out for in fall camp. Austin and I have a video preview up as well. So tons of content. We'll have a little recruiting content coming up in the next 24, 36 hours as well. So it's go time, and we're ready to go.
Why would there not be media allowed if it's an indoor practice?
Because of COVID.
Okay. Oh,
We have to wear masks. The university's issued a mask mandate for, even if you're vaccinated, for indoors. And so they want to limit the spacing and the crowd,
yeah,
in terms of who's gathering in the building, because there's other athletes walking through and other people going through there. So we are back. Yesterday, we did not have to wear a mask in the building. But today, we got word last night that, you know, they want us mask up in the building. Hopefully, they'll continue to let us do things in person. Most of the SEC is going back to Zoom interviews only post-practice. They're not doing anything in person right now because of where things are with COVID numbers. So hopefully we'll get to continue to do our interviews in person like yesterday. But I don't know how long that'll last. That'll depend on what numbers look like around here, what the university elects to do, because students on campus now have to wear masks in the classroom. And in high traffic areas, they have to wear masks. So that's why the indoor stuff is closed.
Okay. Was that Jimmy's microphone on a stick yesterday with the players? I thought it was.
It was a, I'm not sure what dumpster he got the stick out of, but it was nice of him to find one. It was really nice of a trainer to give him some used medical tape to attach his newspaper tape recorder to.
Yeah.
It was in my camera shot a couple of times,
yeah,
but you know, I thought it was so appealing and looked so good that I didn't ask him to move it. I thought people would enjoy it sliding back and forth the way it did in my camera shot.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that was Jimmy Himes's. Uh-oh, they're 6 feet away, and my audio is not going to be very good, so I've got to figure something out in a hurry.
You tell him, thumbs up from the Tri-Cities, man. That's
wow.
Good.
All right, we'll
thanks,
do it.
Thanks, Brent. Have a great time.
Thanks, all right, man. See you guys.
Thanks.
Catch the Morning Monster weekdays 6 till 10 on 640 WXSM. And be sure to join us next time for another Morning Monster podcast with Bobby Raider right here.